So God, we do come before you right now, and we want to spend the next few minutes, Lord, looking at this command of going. Father, I pray just for your power to be found in the Word as you promise it is. God, I'm going to share some personal stories of my family, and I'm going to talk about this. But Lord, the power is really and truly found in your Word, and so may it meet us where we are this morning. God, if we just need to be encouraged to go live this out, or if we need instruction, or if we need correction, Father God, I pray that your Word meets us there. We love you, and we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. So, the series is I Will, and we are looking at 9 traits of an outwardly focused Christian. The traits so far, and we're not looking at everything, but the traits so far that we've looked at is I will move from I am, I'm a church attender, okay, I'm a pew sitter, to I will live these things out. And so we gave you a book. I hope you're reading the book. A lot of the sermons flow within the titles of those chapters. It's a simple read. I encourage you to read this. It is going to carry us on through the middle of January. Okay, so the first trait is that I'm going to move from just a church attender, sitter, to I will become these things. The second trait that we looked at is I will grow together with others. Right? Like, there's a need. It's in Scripture that we can't live life without one another. And as a matter of fact, I need you in my life if I truly desire to become like Jesus. And you need each other. You need other people. Because it's when we're with people that we're learning to love as Jesus loved. Okay, so I will grow together with people. Last week, I asked Ed to do this, and he filled in and he preached, and he said, I will serve. And so we gave out some gift cards. I understand there's a little bit of confusion. As generous as Bob Baker is, the gift cards did not come from him. He was just the Vanna White of the moment handing them out. Okay. Yeah, some of y'all are like, who's Vanna White? Man. Everybody else is like, Vanna White doesn't hand out presents. She turns letters. The point of the gift card. The point of the gift card was to be used to serve other people. And so we kind of lost that. There were some good intentions with me and, you know, thinking that I might be able to send a video from, you know, Meshoko. And I even took a gift card with me to use it as a prop in the video that I was going to send. And yeah, so much for that. So we got a plan in place the next time all that lines up. So Ed talked about I will serve, and I want to take a moment, and I want to tell you that I'm proud of our faith family for this past week in serving our community, for serving Austinville Elementary School with cupcakes and cocoa and Santa. And I mean, it's 440 students walked down here, came through this building. Most of them, I mean, you got your bigger kids and the fifth graders, they kind of, look, they're in it more for the sprinkles and the cupcakes and the cocoa, and the rest of it is just what it is. But man, to see the looks on those kids' faces, right? I mean, Santa Claus brought them great smiles, the cupcakes that you would stand around the table and help them with, you know, try to control the number of sprinkles that they ended up with, the cocoa that was served. I mean, Caleb stirred cocoa for 5 hours the other day, and you know, when Santa Claus sat there and he had people sit on his lap for hours and hours and hours. And Santa Claus is amazing at what he does. And Jamie sat in here and she read, how many times did you read that story? Like 40? You know, I mean, she read the same story over and over and over again. And I can tell you this, I stuck my head in here the last time. She was just as animated then as she was the first time. Okay? And so just to see the support and the number of people that showed up to serve is just a testament to who we are. And I'll tell you this, I love this. My friend Jeff, He comes and he and his wife have a photography business. They take pictures. They do a great job. They don't charge us. Jeff has now gotten to where he's bringing somebody with him, and it's a leader in their church. And they're just amazed at this, because they're like, man, there's no way that we would have this many people. Do y'all realize we had five people that didn't sign up show up? Okay? Like, that's awesome. I mean, we wish you'd sign up, but you know what? As long as you keep showing up, we're good. All right? Because, I mean, that's really awesome, because, you know, there was schedules and things happened, and Michelle was like, okay, we gotta rearrange some things and move this and move that and do this and do that. And all of a sudden, you know, other people that didn't even sign up are now here, and they're ready to serve and they're ready to give. And so it speaks to you as a church and who you are and what God's doing in your life. And I am grateful for that. And so Ed talked about serving. And today's trait is one that we're familiar with. And it's I will go. Now the word go is certainly something that's a part of our lives. Americans are on the go at a greater rate than ever before. This week is expected to be one of the busiest times of going in recent history. I expect, if we did a poll here, that over half of our faith family will go somewhere for Christmas and New Year's celebrations. And I'm not talking about just to the living room to open up presents. I'm talking about getting in your car and going somewhere. But staying on the go with activities and family celebrations is not what the command go is all about. I've been on the go a lot since the 1st of October. I think some 13 times now I've stayed away from my home on some place doing something else. That's not what this command is about. This command is not about the activities that we are accustomed to, the family celebrations. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. But when we talk about the trait of an outwardly focused Christian, it's not I'm bringing a lot of activities for my kids to be a part of where I'm always on the go. That's not what this is talking about. And so let's talk about it. It's pretty familiar. Matthew 28, I'm going to read it from the screen. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? Jesus gathered around. It's the final command. He's got his people there. And depending on who you talk to, there's different numbers. But it is definitely 11. Some of the ladies, upwards of 120 are there. And he leads in with all power in heaven and on earth have been given to me, Jesus. Therefore, go. Like Jesus is telling them, I've got all power. I've got all authority. No matter where you are, whether it's on this rock called earth or whether it's up in heaven, I have all power and authority. Therefore, go. Now, this particular command of Jesus actually requires us to do something, church. It requires action. There's some commands, if you think about it, they require that we do not do anything. Like, do not steal is an act. I mean, I'm not doing something. Do not lie. I'm not doing something. Do not commit adultery. I'm not doing something. This particular command is you've got to do something. Like, I mean, that's what this is. With this action of going, there are some particulars with this command that we are to do as we go. Right? I mean, we are to not just go aimlessly, not just go without any intentionality. We are to go for the purpose of making disciples. That's the command. Therefore, go make disciples. We are to baptize. We are to immerse as Jesus was immersed and how it's taught. And we are to teach to obey. Like, that's the go. It's not just leave this place and wander aimlessly. It is to go with the intent of making disciples, of baptizing, of teaching these new disciples to obey. Church, here's the truth with this. I do not get to define what living this command out, what it looks like. I don't get to define that. I don't get to say that what Jesus said here in this thing that we've titled the Great Commission looks like this over here. It looks like, oh, church attendance and Sunday school and being involved in all the activities and that's discipleship. Like, it's, I don't get to say that that's what making disciples looks like. I don't get to say that I'm the pastor of the church and I'm going to sit here in this building, in this office, and I'm just going to wait for people to come here and then I'm going to strike. I don't get to define what this looks like. Jesus modeled for you and I what this looks like, and we are the ones who have the responsibility of going and doing as instructed. That's on us. In my home, my kids are about to hate this. In my home, cleaning the bathroom apparently has a few different meanings. So Amanda and I have worked over the years with our children, showing them what cleaning the bathroom involves. All the steps. You got to empty the trash. There's trash in the trash can. You got to take it out. We Clorox wipe down the sink, you know, all of it, inside, the top, the tub. We, you know, you probably might even have to get in that thing and really scrub. You got to get the little soap tray things. All of that involves, you just got to be Clorox. The toilet, that's a part of the bathroom. Believe it or not, it's in there. And so we got to do all of it. We got to get in there, and you got to brush for that. And so that's all got to be done. They're sweeping. Now look here. I don't know if you've ever seen the bathrooms in the parsonage. Not a large footprint down there. Okay, as a matter of fact, this communion table wouldn't fit in one of our bathrooms. Okay, no lie, not a lie, not an exaggeration. That thing would not fit in one of our bathrooms. So when we talk about sweeping and mopping, we're not talking about a large area. Okay, but to clean the bathroom, you sweep, you mop, and then there's that mirror thing that gets all splattered with toothpaste and that stuff. And it's good to know that we're brushing our teeth, but we still have to clean that thing. All right, so this has been modeled a few times. Now, when this command is given to go and clean the bathroom, and it was within this last week, we had guests coming in, we don't always get the results of everything on that list being checked off. And we'll ask the question, hey, did you clean the bathroom? And to my knowledge, most every time, with the exception of maybe one in the recent future, the answer is always, yes, I cleaned the bathroom. So then it's like, well, I noticed there was toilet paper in the floor and trash in the trash can and toothpaste in the sink. They did go and do some of what was asked. Some of it was even done in the manner that we desire. However, other parts of the command to clean the bathroom were completely ignored or done in a completely different manner altogether, not fulfilling the task that we've asked. And so in the Sykes family world, because it was not done the way we wanted it to be done, as instructed, then, hey, it wasn't carried out. It's not what we desired. And so we, the parents in the Sykes family world, we're upset. Because we've shown you how to do this, and it's not being done the way we've shown you how to do it. Church, we cannot make the same mistake with Jesus' command for us to go. Are you mad, huh?
No.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We cannot make the same mistake with Jesus' command for us to go and do as Jesus showed it. We don't have a choice. We don't get to define what this looks like. We must do it as He modeled for us within our cultural context, what that looks like. We've got to be intentional in relationships, helping people draw closer to God. That's what we have to do. And it goes way beyond Sunday morning. It goes way beyond the activities found here. Those are a vital part of it. Hear me. The corporate gathering of the believers is important. It's important for us to gather on Christmas Eve and sing and praise and celebrate the act of Jesus going to earth. It's important for us to do these things. But it's not limited there. It's not stopped there. Jesus lived with these men for a period of time, all for the case and point of bringing them along, drawing them closer to Himself. And so when He talks about us going, that's what it has to look like for us. And here's the deal. The motivation for you and I to live this out in our lives cannot be out of obligation or guilt. It can't be because, oh man, Michael said we had to do it, so we got to go do it. It can't be, oh man, Jesus' word says this, so I've got to check this off the list of things I have to do. I have to go make disciples. The motivation for obeying this command cannot be out of sheer obligation because it's just found in the Word. If that's the case, you're going to burn out. If it's out of just that motivation of, oh man, He said do it, so I got to do it no matter what. If the motivation is that, then you're not going to fulfill this. The trait, the outwardly focused Christian, one of the traits of an outwardly focused Christian is I will go. That is based on His final command to His people. But it must be driven by the new commandment that Jesus gave His disciples. It's got to be driven by love. That there's no other way to effectively model Jesus' ministry of doing things if you are not doing it for the reason of love. And so the greatest commandment is for us to love God with the entirety of who we are. Right? You know that. I mean, the greatest commandment, love God with all who you are, your mind, your soul, your strength, your heart. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, and the second is equally important. Meaning, you cannot have one without the other. You cannot separate loving God and loving others. You can't do it. The second command is that I am to love your neighbor, I am to love my neighbor as I do myself. But then Jesus takes this to another place. He takes this to a different level. I mean, He taught that we're to love our neighbors as we do ourselves, but then on His final hours with his disciples, in the intimacy of that room, He had just washed their feet, He's shared a meal with them. And He's giving them these new teachings. And in John 13, 34, He says, a new command I am giving you. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. A new commandment in the ninth inning? What's Jesus doing here? Is it not enough that I love you, the church, as I love myself? Is that not enough, Jesus? But now you want me to love people. You want me to love each other. You want me to love my flock, my family, the people at Starbucks. You want me to love the annoying guy in front of me who had to lean his seat back all 12 hours. And not just that, he had to rock, and then he had the nerve to get up and say something to me about me bumping his seat with my knees. Yeah, that almost happened. There was almost an international. We almost landed that thing in northern Africa because I was done. And Jesus says, no, you love this guy. And so it was really awkward for everybody after this guy dropped the F-bomb a couple times and we were about to go round and round that I started to pray for him right there. Awkward moment. But 24 hours earlier, I had already shared this verse about, hey, I'm to love each other as Jesus loved me. So I'm not to love you as I love myself. I'm to love you as Jesus loves you. Because, church, my love is incomplete. My love is got a stopping point where I'm now going to, we'll lock up right here on the airplane. Okay, that's my love. My love is incomplete. Your love is incomplete too, church. But my love is growing. As I journey to become like Jesus, my love becomes more like His love. Because His love is perfect. His love is unconditional. His love is sacrificial. His love is never ending. So Jesus' new command is for us to love each other as He loves us. This Christ-like love is how the world, it says, will know that we are His followers. And so as I go, as I leave here today and I contemplate this command of going, know that you going and doing the things that Jesus has asked you to do can't be out of obligation to me saying it to you. It can't be out of obligation because Jesus commanded it to you. It's got to be because of love for one another. Because if I truly love you as Jesus loved you, I'm going to do the things that Jesus did. And He said no to Himself an awful lot. And He said no to His calendar. And He said no to His bank account. And He said no to a lot of things for the sake of other people. And church, I'm here to tell you that you will not effectively go do the things that Jesus has asked you to do if love is not the motivation of going. And so today, we're going to send you out. We have another gift. You're going to get it after the service is over. You can grab one out. It's one of these cool t-shirts. It does say, love your neighbor. This very thing was a test of my love. But it's a reminder. It's got a map of Morgan County and hopefully most of our world on it. We've got one for everybody. But it's a reminder that as we see this shirt, as we wear this shirt, that we are to love one another. And so it's just our way of saying, hey, do this. In just a moment, we're going to have something special. I'll let Caleb and Katrina explain what going, the motivation of love. I'll let them explain what's about to happen. You know what's about to happen. But this is a very model of the things that we're talking about. And it's the result of someone saying, you know what, I'll spend a couple of nights a week with you. I'll, I'll say no to my own kids so that I can say yes to you. And it's not just, hey, let's hang out and have coffee and sip hot chocolate. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about what Jesus is doing in your life. Let's talk about challenges that I have. It's the model. And this is just the beginning point for Whitney. It's not the finish line. This is not where we want to get people to this point. This is just the next step in the journey of Whitney becoming more like Jesus. So I'm grateful that this whole thing came together on the Sunday of I will go. Will you go? Father, we love you and we thank you for today, and we just thank you for this opportunity to gather and just talk for a few moments about this command of going. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to talk about these other characteristics of outwardly focused Christians, that Lord, that more of us will embrace this idea of going and making disciples. God, we may not have all the answers. We may have more questions. God, maybe we need to be discipled and mentored and poured into before we are released to do it ourselves. But God, I pray for this church, I pray for this congregation, and I pray for kingdom impact in this community, in our county, in our workplaces. That God, it will begin with the decision for us to go. May our motivation be found in love. May we genuinely care and love the people around us and want them to see the very thing that we have through Jesus Christ. God, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.